So, thank you, brother. This morning, it's a great joy and a privilege to see you again. And I come from India, live in India full-time with my family, my wife Elizabeth, and three children, grown-up children. We are living in India, serving the Lord full-time in the ministry. So, as I stand in front of you this morning, I bring greetings from my family and all the extended family of Jesus Christ from our homeland. And my connection started to Northern Ireland about 20 years ago when the Lord led a man from this country called Harry Wright. And then about 17 years ago, and Harry and Divina, they invited me to this beautiful country. That was my first visit about 17 years ago. And ever since, the Lord has brought so many brothers and sisters into our lives, into our path, to stand behind the work of the Lord there in India, to pray for the ministry and to support the ministry. So friends, this morning, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your sincere prayers and continual support for the work of the Lord in India for the Lord's ministry. So as I stand in front of you this morning, I just want to share a few minutes, little information before I read the Word of God. And today is a Sunday morning, and as we all are aware, it's a Palm Sunday this morning. And it's a Sunday morning where we shout and praise the name of the Lord God, our Jesus, our Savior. So there in my homeland, as we are coming together here to worship the Lord, in the same way, in hundreds of and thousands of places, people coming together and worshiping same Jesus and same Lord Jesus Christ in those little and bigger churches. And though we have over 330 million gods, according to philosophy, so many gods, but there are a few people who chose to shout hallelujah, to shout the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. So friends, as we are gathering together here, even though we have a little bit of time difference between India and United Kingdom, but however, in our homeland, in our part of the country, mostly the people are tribal people, and who are called as tribals, different tribal groups. But no matter, the people who found Jesus in their lives on Sunday morning, maybe walking 1 hour, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, maybe 5 miles or 6 miles or sometimes even 10 miles. People walking such a long distance and coming to little places and where they are gathering together and kneeling down and worshiping the Lord Jesus. But the thing is that our services goes a bit longer than what we do here in this land. And people ask me, Jacob, how do you people do that? And my answer would be very, very simple. People on Sunday morning, those who are walking with their little children and families and men and women, those who are walking for 5 or 6 or 10 miles with a barefoot on Sunday morning, they don't want to come for 1 hour. They don't want to come for 2 hours. They don't have any other programs on Sunday other than coming to the Lord, coming to the little house of the Lord and worshiping Him, because they have nothing but God. If their children are sick, there is no doctor where they could run very quickly. Well, they could go far distance and find a doctor. But if somebody bitten by a snake, if something happened in the family, they have nothing but God. Therefore, it is a compulsory to cry out to Jesus. At least before we start our services, we could have a 1 hour time just for prayer. Before even we start singing, only praying and crying and praying, kneeling down and praying. Then we start singing, then it goes preaching time, then we preach about 1 hour. Maybe sometimes we don't even follow the time. Therefore, when I came to your church this morning, I asked Pastor Alistair, sir, would you kindly suggest me how much time I may take? Because I carry Indian watch. And in India, we preach normally a long time. But I know I'm not in India today. I'm here with you in a different country. But however, friends, we praise God for the joy and privilege of serving the Lord together. And dear Pastor Alistair and Pastor Bill Foy and the elders and all the saints, it's a great joy and a privilege to stand in front of you by your permission to thank the Lord together and worship the Lord together. Just let me read a portion from Bible, from Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse number 29-34. Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse number 29-34. And it came to pass when he drew near to the Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olive, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here." Verse number 31. "And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you losing it?' thus you shall say to them, him, because the Lord has need of it." Verse number 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as had said to them. Verse number 33. "But as they were losing the colt, the owner of it said to them, 'Why are you losing the colt?' And verse number 34. And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.'" And as we read and following verses, and then we understand all the story about the triumph of the Jerusalem as Jesus was going to Jerusalem at this point. Friends, this morning, today is a Palm Sunday. And even in India, in our churches, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And we do celebrate Good Friday. Then follows the Easter. Then follows the Day of Ascents as Jesus went to heaven. Then we also follow the Day of Pentecost. So we carefully follow all these days and we get together and we read Bible portion and we pray together. And we also preach from the portions to emphasize the facts as we read in the Bible. So today, as Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem, and he says, "Go into the village opposite you. Where you enter, you will find a colt tied." And Jesus says, "Go and find a colt, a little donkey, and bring it for me. Loose it and bring it for me." I many times wonder, why did not Jesus choose a beautiful chariot? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator, Almighty God. He could have chosen a mighty chariot with 1,000 horses to ride in front of him. But why did he choose a little colt, a little donkey, where he could ride for a couple of hours so that people would cry out and say, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And because if we read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 to 11, we see so many things here, but just I want to read one important verse. And book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7. I just read verse number 7, verse number 6 and 7 also. "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to equal with God," verse number 7, "but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man." You see, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he being in the form of man, he took the form of man and he came in the form of a bond servant. The word also says, coming in the likeness of man. Who is he? He's a God. Jesus, Almighty. Almighty God. Coming in the likeness of man. He taken a form of man. And he take no reputation. We take a lot of reputation many times. But he takes no reputation. Therefore, He took a little donkey which was tired. And he says, loose it and bring it to me. Because as we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the one which is the lost. The purpose of Jesus Christ is to seek and to save. So as he says, loose it and bring it to me. Once upon a time, we all were tired to the sins. No matter whether we are Indians, Irish, British, whoever we are. We are sinners. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is a death. But praise God for the gift of God. Through Christ Jesus, we have an eternal life. Friends, I never had this chance. I feel so humble as I stand in front of you. Many times I feel I'm unworthy to stand in front of the people. I don't have any Christian connection or religious connection or a Christian church connection. I was born into a Hindu family. Never heard about Jesus. My mother and father, as a usual, as a Hindu family, they have chosen 120 Hindu gods. Every Friday morning, my mother used to come with the white clothes, with the wet clothes. We all family used to worship these 120 gods. Never knew. As most of Hindu families, if you go into Hindu family, basically they have a separate room in their home. They call it a holy room. And they put some gods inside. Maybe it's your chance. You chose 5 gods or 10 gods or 20 gods or 100 gods. Because there are 330 million. So you chose as many as you can. That used to be our condition too. But I thank God for the day. The day when we heard the gospel in little Indian village. Doctor said to my parents, Mama, you are 8 years old, son will die within 2 days. Go home, put him on the bed to die. He's dying from leukemia. We cannot help you. Well, it is true. And that afternoon, as my parents were coming back home, on the halfway down, we stopped in a little Indian village where we were stopping for that particular night. And we were planning to go back to our village on the following day morning. But that evening I praise God for 2 brothers whom God has sent from a far country. They have traveled more than 12,000 miles to come to India, simply obedient to the calling of God and saying, Lord, wherever you send us, we will go. They did not say, Lord, we go to India, how many people will be saved? Maybe church like you having a lot of demands. Oh, brothers, we are sending you. We are buying your ticket. We are paying for your insurance. Therefore, if you go to India, we give you a criteria. How many people you must win? How many people you must baptize? How many orphanages you must open? They must have given a criteria. But these 2 simple brothers came to India, walking village to village with a translation, a gentleman translating to them. They might be very disappointed when people were not coming to hear to them. People in India might be afraid of looking these white people. Maybe running into bushes. Oh, this white man coming to take my gods. I have monkeys. I have snakes. I have so many gods. Why this man is coming? They might be very, very disappointed. But friends, I praise God. Despite of a lot of disappointment, they could come that evening at about 7 o'clock to little village and literally screaming. They didn't have any microphones like I have a couple of wires or maybe electricity or no chairs or nothing. They were literally standing in the heart of the village and screaming as loud as they could and saying, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Whatever the problem you are going through, come, we pray for you freely. Freely. I praise God for the word free. Gospel is a free. Salvation is a free. It is a free gift of
God. Because somebody paid full price on the cross. When it is a free, does not mean it is a cheap. No. You can buy a newspaper for a couple of pence, but you can buy a diamond for a couple of millions. If somebody gives you a diamond, which is the value of a couple of million pounds, it's a free. My salvation, your salvation is a free gift from God because somebody paid. Praise God for that news for my mother. And my mother hears and she jumped and she said, "What is this free?" And she covered me as quickly as possible. And she brought me right to the feet of those men. And crying and saying, "Sir, I'm a Hindu woman. My only son is dying. We have no money. We are going back home. Sir, would you please help us any way you can?" Poor lady crying for her son's life. I know in any country, no mother wants to see her son is dying. In fact, this mother waiting for more than 10 years before she had a first son. And here her son is dying, running after every temple, every god, every hospital. But here there is no hope, no money, everything gone. Our hopes are gone. But there is only one little hope, it seems, that they say, "We will pray for you freely." Brought me to their feet and they laid their hands on me. In translation, there was a brother called Vaneshamas translating into local language. They said, "Mama, we cannot help you, but Jesus will help you." Praise God. Friends, this morning Jacob may not help you. Brother, pastors may not help you. Well, they can help what they can. But far beyond, Jesus is living God. He can help you. Many times we think there is no one to help me. But there is someone to help you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. We praise Him, we honor Him, and we give Him thanks this morning. And they said, "Mother, we can't help you, but Jesus may help you." Poor mother might be expecting something would instantaneously happen, but nothing happened. She took me back, just a skin and bones, putting me on her shoulder. Coming to my mother's sister's house, little tiny Indian house, there was a kerosene lamp 40 years ago. In those villages, there was no electricity. But there was a kerosene lamp, a little lamp. Putting me on the bed. Mother is laid beside the bed, on the floor. Nearly it was coming, middle of the night. It was a quiet in the little house. But here I look, a person look like my father. He's walking. And walking and walking, coming closer and closer towards my bed. As he came close to my bed, standing beside my bed, and he held me by hand. And he says, "Son." He talks in the very first word, he said, "Son." Friends, as I get older, I began to understand, I began to think many times, why did he call me son? What have I done for him? Who is he? I'm a Hindu boy, worshipping many gods, dying and going to hell. But still, he calls me son, son. Friends, that makes me to feel different. Then he took me a bit further distance. He sat on a block rock and he asked me, he said, "Son, what is your name?" Then I explained him my name written, given by my parents. But he said, no. Then he opened a book. He showed my name, three letters in the book, written from the beginning to the ending of the paper, Jacobu, which is a Jacob in English. He says, "Son, here is your name." And then he closed the book and he looked at my face. Putting his hand on my shoulder, he says to me, "Son, you will not die. You will live. Go back. Go back." Before I step out, I asked him, "Sir, who are you? What is your name?" He looked at me. He said to me, "Son, I am
Jesus. Jesus. Friends, it is about 40 years ago when I first hear from the very mouth of my Lord Jesus, saying his name is Jesus, introducing himself. Why did he come? There are over 1.3 billion people living in my homeland. Per day, 22,500 people dying. Maybe 95 or 97, 98% of them never followed Jesus, never heard about Jesus. How could he come to little boy? He's the Almighty God. He's too busy. He has a lot of responsibilities. When I think of that situation, I wonder many times, Lord, how did you take a 1 minute or 2 minutes time for me? All creator of all creation, God of all creation, coming to one little Hindu boy and speaking to. In the middle of the night, I jumped out of my bed and I began to scream and saying, Mother, Father, Jesus came to me. Jesus came to me. When they hear these words, they couldn't believe their son is standing, speaking. They were in a panic situation. Everybody crying, screaming. I said, Mother, Father, no, please don't cry. Something happened to me, Mama. Holding me by hands, holding me, touching my feet, my face, began to ask me, Son, we thought you were dying after the scream, but you were standing, you were speaking. What happened to you, son? Then I told them, just a few minutes ago, a man called Jesus came to me and spoke to me and said, I will not die but live. When my parents hear these words, my father running all over, and wondering, he was under great tension, pressure. He was wondering, what can we do? How can we thank this God? He was running to see if he could find a rooster, a chicken to sacrifice to Jesus. But mother said, no, 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 no. He's a new God. We never knew him before. He's a new. If we do something wrong, our son may die. He may upset. So what shall we do? My mother says, let us go to the man who was translating to those American men. We made our way down and my mother and father explained this local preacher, Brother Vanishamas. And he said, that is wonderful, friends. Your son met Jesus. Now he's walking, speaking. That's wonderful. But that is not enough. He said, my father said, sir, we came to ask you for something that you would tell us to sacrifice to Jesus. Okay. He said, gentlemen, listen. If you want to sacrifice something to Jesus, there is only one sacrifice. What is that? What is that sacrifice? He said, if you believe that you are a sinner, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and if you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and asking, Lord, I'm a sinner, would you forgive me? Would you forgive my sins? This is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would need from you. Gentlemen, would you like to do this? My father here goes and says, yes, sir. Mother goes, yes, sir. And my aunt and my uncle and myself, five people, right in the middle of the night and asking, Lord, we did not know Christian terminology like we do now. But then we were simply repeating these words after this brother, Vanishamas, crying out like a baby's, and asking if Jesus would come into our hearts as a Lord and Savior. About 40 years ago, 1978, Jesus Christ, he raised me, he loosed my bondages, and he raised me from the point of death, and he has given me life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, not just this life. This life will disappear soon and very soon. But eternal life, hallelujah. I believe heaven is the real place. I believe hell is also a real place. There are two places real. As a Hillsborough is a real. As a Belfast is a real. As a London is a real. As a Delhi is a New Delhi is a real. There are two places, my friends, which are real places. What is the problem today? Even with the Christian brothers and sisters.
We read Bible, we hear preachings, but we understand very little about the reality of heaven, about hell. If we truly understand about hell and about heaven, friends, I tell you truth, we live differently. We walk differently. We think differently. We live differently. Even though we are Christians, we are brothers and sisters, many times we think we live here for a million years. No. Just a short time. Very, very short time, friends. But let me come back to the point. And time is quickly going. I don't know what to do, but I will try my best as the Lord helps me. Friends, here we see Jesus says, release the colt, little donkey, and tell them that Jesus needs it. Little donkey is needed for Jesus. Friends, well, Jesus needs big people, educated people, great people, but also he does need little people like myself. Little colts, little donkeys. Donkey is not greatly respected in Indian culture. But snake is greatly respected. There is a lady here from India. She would understand what I'm talking. Snake is greatly respected. Snake is fed with eggs. Since I come to Northern Ireland, I asked Thelma yesterday, Thelma, would you give me egg? In India, we need 96,000 eggs per month to feed our orphan children. To only provide a boiled egg, not every day, every other day. So my breakfast would be sometimes, if nobody is giving me breakfast, I could boil an egg and just eat an egg and then I go for a day. But snakes are better off in my country, Brother Stephen. They get eggs. They get milk, pure milk. The women with the beautiful saris, there is a certain festival, a snake festival in India. On the day they go to snake god and they pour the milk. And they pour them, they give the eggs. And I wonder, if snake would come, a king cobra would come and say, hello friends, greet you. I don't know how many ladies would stand there. But that's how it is. But friends, Jesus chose a little colt, little donkey. And ready to take Jesus on the, Jesus, come on my back. I'm willing to carry you, no matter how long. I know you are a heavy boy. But I will still carry you, Jesus. Friends, what a wonderful blessing to carry Jesus. Carrying Jesus in our daily lives. Jesus, I carry you. No matter people spit on me. No matter people slash on my cheek. No matter people hate me. Still, Lord, I will carry you. I carry my Jesus. Friends, today in this Palm Sunday morning, are we willing to carry Jesus? As we were traveling this morning, Brother Stephen said, Jacob, now we are doing a lot of outreach, taking the gospel out to the people. Praise God for that, for our Hope Church here. Please do it, friends, continually. Please continually carry him so people can see who is this Jesus. Who is he? You don't need to appear yourself as a big person. Just be as a little donkey. Let Jesus sit on you and appear to people. Sometimes we look for a name, big fame. No! No! Friends, we have to die for our name and fame. And he has to be exalted. And he has to be magnified. And he has to sin from your life and my life. Not me, not Jacob. That is why Paul the Apostle clearly says, I am crucified with Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 verse number 20 says very clearly, it is no longer I. What is the problem today? There is too much I. It's a me, my wife, my children, my land, my church, my people, my possession, my education, my. No my. He, hallelujah, glory to God. He, Lord, not me, but he, you, Jesus. Paul says clearly, I'm nailed, crucified. My is a crucified. Therefore, there is no longer my, But he, hallelujah, he lives in me. Friends, when he lives in you, when he is sitting on you, nobody sees a donkey, but they see Jesus. So today, are we be willing to of little those ones who are willing to carry Jesus? When you carry Jesus, friends, it's a wonderful experience. Wonderful experience. Every day, not just a couple of hours when you go to the church, when you sing a few hymns. No. He is living in you. He is living in me. Every single minute, he is there inside me. This little Jacob, the little frame, 58 kilos, little person. People many times tells me, Jacob, you are a little man. You have a little head. That is true. I have a little head, a little man, 58 kilos. But I have a big problem, friends. What is my problem? Great big God lives in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Almighty God lives in me. Oh, he is more than 200 pounds or maybe 300 pounds, maybe 500 pounds, maybe a million pounds. He lives in me, in a little Jacob. Therefore, I have to be a different person. We have to be different. We need to think different. Friends, Jesus lives in us. Let us carry Jesus in everyday life. Not just some days, not just a few days, not just a Sunday morning, not just a Easter morning or maybe Good Friday morning. No, every single minute of our lives, we carry Jesus. Lord, lead me, guide me, help me, take me wherever you want. Lord, I want to be a little cold this morning. Would you release me? Would you use me for your purposes? Therefore, Lord, my life would be worthwhile. Shall we small prayer? Then I will continue later. Let us pray small prayer. Dear Jesus, we come to you this morning. I just want to be that little colt, which is tired with the ropes, but released and brought to Jesus, and hear the little donkey carrying Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would use me to carry you in all my life, carrying Jesus. Help me, Lord. Guide me, Lord, to carry you every place I go. I don't want to show myself to people, but let Jesus be seen. Let Jesus be recognized. Let people glorify Jesus, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, through my life, I want to honor you, praise you, thank you. Make me to humble myself. Cleanse me, Lord, clean me. Use me as the little donkey on that Palm Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. Lord, this morning I humble myself. I make myself like a little donkey. I would like to, Lord, carry you. I'm willing to carry you, Jesus. Not just today, but every day. Would you help me, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, this morning I just want to brief report of the ministry, what God is doing in our lives and also in our humble ministry back home in India. And through the 17 years almost, when Hari Wright, I call him daddy, and he's my spiritual father, he loves me so much, Divine and Hari, and I do, my wife and I, we do love them just like children, their own children. He brought me here to this place about 17 years ago. And many of you, my brothers and sisters, remember from my first visit. And through the years, most of you are praying for India. Thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank you for your faithful and sincere prayers for our family and for the ministry of the Lord in India. And now my family, my wife Elizabeth, and she couldn't able to come with me this time due to some health reasons. And please pray for her. But she said, Jacob, every place you go, please pass my greetings to our brothers and sisters. And we have three children. A boy, Daniel, is 24 years old. And Victoria is 22. And Samuel is coming to 20 years. And three of our children, they are following Jesus. They are baptized. And they love the Lord Jesus, for which we are very grateful to Jesus. And I do have a mother and father. They're elderly people. They don't travel with me. They don't read Bible like I do. But they tells me, son, wherever you go, we will not go with you, but we fast and pray for you. Every Friday and Saturday, 2 days, my dear mother, she's just a little lady like myself, skin and bones. She fast and pray, no matter what time, summer, winter, rainy, no problem. She never compromised fasting and praying. Thank God for my humble parents who are willing to stand behind me in prayer and in encouragement. And I just want to bring brief report about India. Many of you are aware about India. India is the second largest country in the world after China. Out of every 6 people of the world population, 1 from China and 1 from India. The rest of the 4 people are the world. Rest of the world. Such a massive country, 81% of Indians are Hindus, 13 or 14% Muslims. Some statistics says 2.3%, some says 2.2% Christians. We have a total 7 religions in India. Per day, 22,500 people dying per day, every 24 hours. And over 40,000 children are born every day in India. But what happened to us to be in the ministry? 1991, when the Lord called me to the ministry from 2 feet and 1 old Bible, as I was preaching to you just a few minutes ago, I never knew that the Lord will give me so many brothers and sisters. But I thank God for 1 old Bible and 2 feet. In 1991, April, coming to the mission ministry and saying, Lord, you have given me second life. What more I need? I give my life back to you, Jesus. Would you please use my life? That was my humble and simple prayer. 6 months, walking village to village, preaching the gospel, singing songs. I was crying for 1 soul. If I would see 1 soul is saved, 1 person is saved, and my life would be worthwhile. But 6 months later, my Lord has given me 3 people. I never forget that humble beginning from 3 people. In 1992, praise God for Elizabeth, my wife Elizabeth, who is willing to marry me. We never talked to each other. The matter of fact is, friends, we don't know each other. My mother, my father, Elizabeth's father and mother, organized our marriage. In India, mostly marriages arranged by parents. So it is not our business to go out and to find wife or a husband. And it's entirely business of father and mother. So if there are any young people, if you find it very difficult to find wife and husband here, and after meeting, I would ask permission from Pastor Alistair and team, please come to India. I have a beautiful daughters and a beautiful handsome sons. Friends, don't worry. You don't need to go to Belfast or anywhere. We can organize Indian marriage, beautiful chicken, rice, and we will send you as a couple. No problem. So that's how our journey started in 1992 as a couple. And then the Lord led us to set up a small mission organization in 1994 as a Gospel for Tribal Social Service Society. Our ministry name, it is legally registered by the state government, also central government, for over 24 years. And ever since, from 3 people in 1991, from that humble beginning today, as of now, 1,568 students are trained in our Bible school. 1,568 students trained in our 9 months program Bible school. Our Bible school is called a Burning Heart Bible School. And we train local missionary families, young families. When they come, we have rooms for them. We take their children into the orphanage school. They get the education. And both wife and husband, they're getting the Bible training program. Our training is not so much a theology, Hebrew or Greek. But we are emphasizing them on local church planting, teaching them about the discipleship, personal evangelism, discipleship, fasting and praying and preaching the word of God. So out of 1,568 students, 1,052 of them now working as a full-time missionaries in the mission field. We call them local missionaries or native missionaries. And those missionary brothers not going to a church where some people welcoming them. They're literally going to a place where they are opening a brand new witness of Jesus. There is no church before, no believers before. They're literally carrying the new message to the people and opening the message there as a first time missionaries. But friends, how do they do? They are not highly educated people, simple people, humble people, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, running just like the apostles in the New Testament days, and carrying the gospel, preaching the gospel, casting out demons, praying for sick people, planting local churches. And you may ask me, Jacob, sometimes people ask me, Jacob, are those local brothers are successful, Jacob? My answer is yes, they are successful. As a result of local missionaries today, over 1,500 churches are planted. When I'm saying 1,500 churches, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about church buildings. I'm talking about people, 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 500 people. Just 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, these people never heard the name of Jesus. But today, they have an opportunity because somebody like my brothers here, they went out and they're carrying Jesus to those people and preaching the gospel, not just preaching the gospel, but proving the gospel in the power of Jesus Christ. Friends, so that over 100,000 people baptized as of now. I'm only talking about baptized people. There would be much more than 100,000 people. It's a small work, just like a drop of water or a grain of sand. When you compare with the 1 million villages in India, over 1.3 billion people. I'm crying before God very sincerely, Lord, give me a day that we can see 1 million people coming to Jesus. People tells me, Jacob, it's too big. Too big, Jacob. It is true, but there are 1,300 million people. Is it wrong for me to pray for 1 million people? Friends, the answer is no. Yes. My Lord is so faithful. I'm praying for 1 million souls before I die and go home. But friends, please pray for me. This is just information about the missionaries' work. But when the missionaries are working in the mission field, we don't feel like a big bosses or bishops or reverends or doctors. No, 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 no. The Lord has called us to wash their feet, help them, give them a bowl of rice, give them a bicycle or a microphone or maybe a motorbike, something, a tool, some tools, so that they can speed up the work of God and reach more people for Jesus. And friends, also working in 46 leprosy colonies. And many people tell Jacob, what are you talking about, Jacob? There is no leprosy. The answer is yes, there is a leprosy. Still, there are so many people in India suffering from leprosy. We are currently working in 46 leprosy colonies. The leprosy eat in their fingers and toes, but they found the hope of the gospel. Hope of the gospel. They say, Jacob, when we go home, when we go to Jesus, we will have a new bodies. We will have a new fingers, new toes, new feet. Praise God for the hope of the gospel. Also, praise God for the orphans ministry. On 12th of June 1994, bringing two girls, a boy, to our home and opening a small orphanage, we never knew that one day the Lord would give us thousands of children to serve. We praise God for that humble beginning 24 years ago. But today, friends, taking care of over 6,000 children, providing them food, clothing, education. My wife and I, we live in one of the orphanages as a family, serving the children. And more importantly, raising as the tomorrow leaders in the country. They are the tomorrow doctors, tomorrow engineers, tomorrow professors, tomorrow teachers, tomorrow preachers. They are the tomorrow businessmen, friends. If we neglect today, we miss tomorrow. Therefore, it is a time. We praise God for that opportunity. They don't call me Pastor Jacob, but call me as a Nana. Nana means father. What a humbling experience, friends. If you ever have a chance to come, if the Lord would open the door for you to come, you are most welcome to come for some months, maybe weeks, if the Lord would allow you to help them with the music or maybe serving, any way you can. There is opportunity to help those children. Friends, what I'm trying to speak to you, please pray for the orphans ministry. And orphans ministry is such a great blessing, but the other hand also great challenge. In the past 24 years, we never received even one penny or one potato from the government of India. Every single day, friends, we read in the Bible, Jesus feeding 5,000 people, 5,000 men, then plus women and children, maybe 15,000 or so, from 5 loaves and 2 fish. We read in the Bible, but that is the same case in our lives every single day. When the children come to huge rice pot, maybe 200 kilos, per day we need 2.2 tons of rice per day. 2.2 tons of rice per day. And when I come here, you eat a lot of potatoes. But there we eat a lot of rice. So that much rice we need. When children come there, they pray, Lord, bless this food. And children stretch out their hands and they pray. In the past 24 years' time, our children never missed even one meal. Friends, every day, God is faithful. I just want to sit down and I want to thank you for your faithful prayers and support for missionary families. There are some families here supporting missionary families. There's some brothers and sisters here supporting orphan children through the years. I just want to thank you for starting this wonderful work of the Lord Jesus, and also drilling water wells. In India, we have a project called Jesus Water Wells. So far, we made 1,220 plus Jesus water wells in those villages and colonies, helping people with the natural water, clean water, also bringing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So friends, every opportunity we see, number one, we need to bring the gospel, holding the Bible in one hand and holding the gospel, the bread in the other hand. Bible and the bread together, serving in that land of India in a simple, practical way, bringing the name of Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, dear pastor, and all the elders and deacons and saints, thank you so much for letting me come and share my heart with you. After the meeting, if you wish to learn more information, we have some leaflets back on the table. And also we have some children information. Still, there are so many children without sponsors. It costs about £20 per month. And you may have a good meal in this country with £20 if you go to a good hotel. And the cost of one good meal in this country could provide food, clothing, education, and also raising a new generation in India for tomorrow. And you will also receive a report every 6 months, and every year you get an updated picture as well, which we are doing continually through the years. And also we do have some missionaries information. The local missionary families, when we send the local missionaries, and when they go to the villages or colonies or towns, starting a brand new witness as a family, we support a missionary family for 5 to 6 years' time. Then the local believers can support the missionary families. So this year we sent 120 missionary families just the last month, February, after graduation. There are missionary families. It costs about £70 per month to support a missionary family, like a full support. But just to give them a basic needs like a rice and some things, it costs about £35 to £40. So whichever, the more importantly, friends, please remember us in your prayers, that we may remain faithful to carry on the gospel in the land of India. It's not easy. I don't have time to share with you about the persecution. But there is also a lot of persecution. Just let me share with you recently, just a couple of weeks ago, some of you might have seen on the WhatsApp or so, a missionary couple went out to preach the gospel in Uttar Pradesh, a state called Uttar Pradesh. Here comes people, strip out their clothes, made them naked. And both missionary and his wife, they made them naked and playing drums, spitting on them, mocking them, making procession across the village. Today we are in the Palm Sunday. Friends, so many missionaries, missionary families going through this kind of humiliation, mocking, suffering in order to bring the gospel. It's not just easy to say as I am preaching here, but there's so many problems and challenges. They brought this missionary family across the village naked, beating them, spitting on them, making noise and shouting and yelling, and kicked them out of the village. Friends, can you imagine how they feel physically as they've gone through that kind of suffering? But in the face of suffering, there are so many things happening. So many people almost every day coming to know Jesus Christ. The gospel is preached. So please remember us in your prayers. Thank you, and God bless you.